Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance, with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance, neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the...
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. And, you know, when the grain markets go crazy and the cattle markets go crazy and I just go crazy, I got to get my buddy Angie Setzer, the goddess of grains, and also the vice president of grains at Sis's Elevator on the line. And what's up, Angie?
Oh, not much. Just, living life and experiencing, as my farmers would say, a death by a thousand paper cuts, it seems like right now. So just one of the great things that goes along with trading commodities, I guess, is all those times you just sit here and look at the wall.
Well, almost trading anything, right? I mean, you know, if you look at the equity market, you know, on Monday, the equity markets were much lower. And, you know, I sent out a note to all my people. I said, look for the same action we always have, which is that the dip buyers will come back in and they'll rally back up. And, of course, they did. But, you know, last time you and I talked was right before the report, the USDA report, garbage report. I mean, the report. And what did you make of the report? I mean, I know I texted you right away to get your views on it, but what did you make of it? And what do you make of the underwhelming action we're having right now? And of course, the beans were trying to rally and sold off, and corn and wheat just continue to meander lower. What were your thoughts of the report and how they should affect the market?
Well, definitely, I would have to say, and I think you did ask me what my expectations were, and I did not think that the USDA would be quick to increase yield like they did in corn. So they came in and basically said, yeah, we see that you guys really struggled with some dry weather and some less than ideal precipitation amounts in the Western Corn Belt. But guess what? The Corn Belt's a lot bigger than what we've seen, you know, or what we assumed it was here over the last several years, and they actually increased yield pretty substantially, most of which the increases were seen in what you would call a fringe state or, not necessarily known for its corn production. You saw some big increases in yield estimates there, and so the USDA came in and said we had a record national average yield and increased production pretty substantially, nearly 300 million bushel, but they went and cut back on that a little bit by increasing demand, which is a typical USDA move. We made this big, large change on this side of the supply and demand matrix, but we're also going to increase demand, of course, to help offset some of that carryout concern. So we saw the carryout come in a little bit higher than expected, yield, of course, then much higher than expected, and the market really didn't do much. The reaction, I would say, is muted. Now, perhaps we've opened the door potentially to the downside, but at this point in time, it doesn't appear as though the funds want to get much shorter. And, you know, really, as we move ahead, the unknowns to the market could perhaps lead to some bullish excitement more so than anything else. You know, your unknowns being what China does with their corn program over the next year to, 10 months to the year, what happens for production in South America, Brazil's second crop specifically. Both of those things could be somewhat of a bullish market directing the market more in a bullish standpoint than anything. So I think right now we're just kind of here. We're not going to talk anything new on, we're not going to have any new NAFTA developments over the next couple months. And so really, as painful as it sounds for corn, we're really just looking ahead to January now, which means a whole lot of tread and water for 6-8 weeks here, potentially, which isn't what anyone wants to hear who gains value on volatility by any means. I mean, it's almost one of those markets. I think you could go on Christmas break right now and not notice anything different when you come back after the first of January. sadly.
No.
Makes me sad. I don't get to go on Christmas break right now. I have to sit here and watch paint dry every day for the next 8 weeks.
Well, I understand that. But don't you think that these are just the time that markets will maybe do something? That out of nowhere, you know, one thing we know about markets, right? Any market, doesn't matter what market you're watching, they don't make an announcement when they're going to make a move, right?
Yeah.
So
usually when they lull us into a false sense of security is when they make a big move. So yeah, you're exactly right. And that's been a conversation that my customers and I have had. Those who have to sell corn right now, we're not just rolling over and digging a hole and lying in it. You know, we're going to have some upside protection in place just in case, because right now your volatility is cheap. Your options are cheap. I mean, you can look at buying a May 370 call right now for 10 cents. You know, you can buy a March 360 for seven. So obviously it's cheap to buy upside because the market is also lulled into a false sense of security. So, you know, I kind of joke with some of these guys that it's a decent lotto ticket to look at if something were to happen. And all we're, you know, really when it comes down to it, from an explosive market side of things, all we are is one Chinese announcement away, from having a whole global marketplace shift. I mean, if you believe that the Chinese corn's there, then good for you. But most folks will tell you now, all signs are pointing to the fact that a lot of that's been a big bluff over these last 5, 6, 7 years.
Well, I mean, again, I don't look at all that stuff. I'm certainly don't look at any fundamentals. I could care less, but I do know that when everybody's getting short and it's so easy to be short right now, because I'm not sure I'm long, but it's so easy to be short right now. And, you know, just like the stock market, it's so easy to be long the stock market because, you know, it only goes up every day, never goes down. And the grain markets never go up. And it's so easy to be in those positions. And they're just so full of making you money that there's never anything to worry about. Right. I mean, we have nothing to worry about.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, it's the same exact thing that we've talked about 1,000 times before, is that the easy trade doesn't announce itself. So, like, you know, the one that ends up being the big winner doesn't come with a big neon sign saying winning trade here, you know. So the thing is that the easy trade, of course, is to continue to short corn, sell corn. It's easy to short wheat, you know, sell wheat, live in a mansion sort of thing, and is the running joke on Twitter. Right now it's almost easy to sell beans, a little bit more of a challenge to say that beans should be down, you know, any more than what they are after they've lost 30 some cents here this last couple days. But yeah, I mean, the easy trade is that you long go long the stock market, you sell your commodities, sell your corn, your grains, you know, stuff like that. And you go home and you sleep well at night. Well, eventually that'll change and you'll get a lot of people caught in the wrong position. But the question is when do they get caught in that wrong position and how ugly does that squeeze get when you start to see that short squeeze take place?
Well, I know that only happens. I know that they send you a telegram and say, "Hey, Andy, it's time," because you know,
right?
you got to be on the top of your game, right? Because they always tell you what's going on. They don't tell me, but unfortunately, that's the life of a trader. But again, you know, I think that a lot of mistakes are made by many of being lulled into that false sense of security, and I think that that's one of the big issues. You know, you can see it again if it's too easy. It's not that easy. And usually, as my mommy taught me, if it smells like it and it looks like it, it probably is. And you know what the word, you can fill that word in yourself. But I won't. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, you are with the goddess herself, Angie Setzer, the goddess of grains. And of course, always brings a spot on analysis of the agricultural markets. And of course, don't forget to check out patreon.com/BubbaTrading. That's where we're trying to raise support for our high school investing program so we can continue to have people as educated as Angie about the financial markets, because she's lucky, her family's lucky to have her. They understand it. And of course, don't forget to go download the Bubba Show every single day at libertytalk.fm, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends. And of course, if you're not getting Bubba's daily update, you're missing out. Go to bubbatrading.com and you get it free. I email it to you every day after the close. I do a quick video after we see, of course, right now with watching paint trade with my friend Angie, that there's not much to update, but I update them anyways. Anyways, this is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to step out here for a break and come back with more from Angie Setzer, the goddess of grains, in a minute. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back. Thank you. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with the Goddess of Grains on Twitter. That's Angie Setzer, also the Vice President of Grains at Citizens Elevator, and all about smart person, understands the business. And Angie, so, you know, as we look at these markets, and now, do you follow other markets besides the ag markets? Do you look for other clues elsewhere? What are some of the things you do as you're trying to base your decisions?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we watch, of course, what's going on in crude. I mean, your energy markets are a huge impact on, you know, all levels of grain trading, I think. I mean, the big thing is that with crude, you know, of course, the more expensive your oil, the more likely you're going to see people look in the direction of ethanol for, you know, cheap octane. And so we definitely watch that side of things. It's not as close a correlation as what it used to be. You know, you used to be able to see if you had an up day in crude, you're going to have a solid up day in corn. And now it's not quite the same. But if there's some support to the upside in on the crude side of things, then, of course, you can see a little bit of support in corn. So we watch the energies pretty closely. Of course, currency, the dollar. I mean, and that's just an ongoing joke on Twitter there. That some days the dollar matters, other days it doesn't. And that's a huge thing. Our correlation to dollar moves isn't one-to-one, where people expect if the dollar's weak, grain should be higher. It just doesn't trade like that anymore. I mean, there's a whole lot that goes along with it. But we watch to see what the dollar is doing. I do, especially because the dollar-loonie conversion with Canada has a huge influence on the Michigan cash grain market, because we swap grain back and forth so much with Ontario. And so I really pay attention to what's happening there, because if the loonie strengthens, then it's likely that we'll start selling more grain over onto the Canadian side of things, or find some other opportunities from a sales standpoint in our neck of the woods. So those are really the main things that I watch. But of course, out of the peripheral, I'm watching what's going on in the stock market, just because you're waiting to see what money flow is going to do. You know, everyone keeps talking about, oh, if we can get a stock market sell off, then we'll see the money flow into grains, you know. And I'm not necessarily convinced right now. I think cash on the sidelines could have a huge role for a while on that side if we were to see a stock market sell off. But that still doesn't mean I'm not watching it. So it's kind of one of those things where we watch just about every market trading to see what's happening out that way.
Well, I disagree about that. I do believe that when the market sells off, it will flow into the ag markets, because I think that's where it typically goes. That's the way that it has been. And of course, one thing we know, people need to be invested and they need to try to chase yield. And of course, that's where they probably chase it. Lack of no place else to go. Right now, there's still the stock market goes up every day. But so, all right. So corn is down from the summer highs about 80 cents, about right. Is that about right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah.
The dollar is down from the summer highs of about 80 cents. Was that about right? So
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And crude and crude is up about $12. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So why is corn going down? It's got all these positive factors. Okay. I mean, I have my own answer, but I'd like to hear your answer.
Well, yeah, I think that in my opinion, and you and I both have agreed that we kind of look at two very different things. Fundamentally speaking, I don't see any reason why you would want to come in and buy corn, especially when the outside markets are saying, you know, buy meat. You know what I mean? Your outside stocks, just like what you said earlier, it's almost you almost can print money by being long the stock market, which of course is going to run its course. But for now, I don't see why you would spend money to buy corn. You know, every time that we've had any sort of inclination that we would see some sort of upside move in corn, you know, from a bullish USDA number, and we've had several expectations going into the USDA reports that we would see, you know, a bullish USDA number, we haven't seen it. So, I mean, every time you went long, anyone's went long corn over the last 2, 3, 4 years, probably since about 2013, it's ended badly for them, really, if they haven't done it at the right time. And so, yeah, I mean, it's almost like it's radioactive on the buy side right now, and until it isn't, unfortunately. I mean, I wouldn't come out. I mean, I'm a cheerleader for this market like it's nobody's business, and I still wouldn't come out and use my money to buy too much corn at this point, just simply because it's, like I said before, it's like dying from a thousand paper cuts at this point.
I got a million paper cuts because I'm long a lot of corn and wheat.
I know.
And wheat. But, you know, yeah. So again, I this is one of the things I get concerned about. And this is one of the things that, you know, that I know you understand. And, you know, we get far too concerned with the overall correlation in a short period of time, when in a short period of time, is a year or whatever, it doesn't matter. But they're not always directly correlated. You know, if you look at the big picture, you would, you know, if you woke up from a year nap and I said, hey, by the way, the dollar's got creamed, oil's way up, and where would you price corn? Would you price corn probably close to $5 right now? But of course, it's not there. Yeah. It's 30% lower than that. So that, again, that's where I think many people make a mistake. It's the same as when they try to play the weather. You know, if you can forecast the weather now into next July and play that now, yeah, then it's a good play if you're ahead of the game. But if you're just in the game with everybody else, then you really have accomplished no benefit. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I agree. It's the same thing as what we've chatted about before, where once you know it's a good trade, then it's probably not a good trade anymore. You know, once it's a given, once it's a solid idea that you have a good trade in hand, then, you know, it's really kind of too late. And so that's the huge thing right now. I'm still looking at the way the market reacted. We've had three very negative reports, excuse me, over the last 3 months from the USDA. And we still, we made a new contract low on the DC here last week, right after the report, but it was by what, a penny, 2 cents. And here we are back back up to where that old contract low was prior. So to me, I think the market's kind of screaming to itself right now that it doesn't really want to go lower, but it needs a reason to trade higher. And so we're just waiting to see what that reason might be.
Well, see, and that's why you're smart, because that's the opposite holds true for the equity markets. The equity markets want to go down, but without lack of a reason, they continue to drift higher. And that's one of the things I've always said, is that in dull markets, dull grains, dull agriculture drifts lower because there's nothing there and you're certainly getting any yield out of it. And of course, dull stock markets drift higher. And that's, I think this is one of the biggest lessons that anybody who's involved in the markets, whether they're investing or whether they're hedging or whatever they're doing, needs to understand that this happens. And although, you know, you use the term cheap options a little bit earlier, and I hate that term because there is no such thing as cheap options. Options are always fairly priced. Well, again, I'm not lecturing you. I'm just saying that my listeners will say, how did Bubba let that one go by? And of course, they're always fairly priced because they're being priced by, you know, what I'll call actuaries, you know, because market makers are like actuaries. Market makers are pricing options, not based on price, but based on order flow. So right now, all the order flow is selling options. So they're just getting cheaper because, you know, you just like you wouldn't stand in the street if a car was running over, you'd move out of the way. And of course, if big funds are continuing to sell options, well, you as a trader aren't going to stand in the way of them. You're going to let them keep selling and keep making lower prices until they stop selling. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, would you agree with that?
Yeah. I mean, you don't get in the way of a freight train. Exactly. You let them do their thing. I mean, the only reason that anyone at this point on our end is buying an option is to protect upside on grain that they've had to sell for harvest movement. You know, and that's been the only reason they've looked at owning calls is because they have to turn it into cash. And right now to spend 11 cents on a May, you know, nearly in the money call is cheaper than paying 7-8 cents a month
for storage.
Between that and April.
That's right. See, anyways, we are with the goddess herself, full of pep and vinegar today and all full of knowledge that we have never talked about before. But this is Angie Setzer, the goddess of grains and also the vice president of grains at Citizens Elevator. Make sure that you want to hear more of Angie, you go down to the libertytalk.fm. You can download the show every single day. And of course, Angie's a regular. She's our genius, our resident genius on these things. And we make sure we get on as often as we can. Also, make sure you're getting my daily update, Bubba's Daily Update, which you can go to bubbatrain.com. A little box pops up. Fill it out. It's free. I email it to you every day. And I do a 3 to 5 minutes on what's going on in all markets, so you can check it out. In the meantime, We're going to stop by here a break and come back more and do more of picking of the brain of Angie Setzer so we can get more inside of what's happening in these grain markets that are watching paint dry, according to our expert. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back with more after the break. The Bubba Show. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report. Bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Angie Setzer Show. I mean, the Bubba Show with Angie Setzer, of course, the goddess of grains, and our friend, and also the vice president, big title, and takes care of the vice president of grains at Citizens Elevator. So, Angie, you know, we've got a market that, you know, suddenly soybeans fell out of bed, you know, even more so. And, of course, typically I find that a lot of these bigger sell-offs actually what will we I like to call like a blow off to the downside, and you know, I don't think we've really seen that yet in wheat and corn. They just kind of dribble lower and kind of torture you, but soybeans have had a fairly big move, and it broke some pretty key support levels. But to me, I would not be a chaser or a seller down into this. I'd be looking for probably a spot to possibly be a buyer, which you've kind of advocated, you know, all day. What do you think?
I'm of the mindset here to where, you know, we're 34 cents off the high in the November. I mean, I still look at the front month because to me, the front month is the, even if we're into delivery and she dies tomorrow at 1 o'clock, I mean, it's still the market that I watch until the January becomes the cheap. So you could see some continued sell off. You know, once the November goes off the board, you could kind of see some weakness, I think, in the Jan to get us down to where the November is currently trading. But I anticipate you'll see the Jan pick up the Nov trading range and try to trade itself back up into that 997, you know, 998 range on the high side. And for us right now, that's what, you know, for anyone that hadn't sold prior because they were really expecting something bullish to come out of the USDA this last go around, you know, that's going to be our target for sales. Most of my customers have already put their beans in their bins, so they're sitting on them for now. And with the carry in the market that's out there, which isn't typical for soybeans, you know, usually you're kind of, we've been so hand-to-mouth on supply lately, or these last 2 years, that you don't typically get paid the whole beans. Well, this year you do, you know, a pretty decent amount, 28 cents out to the July from the Jan. So a lot of us we're looking in that 10.05, 10.10, 10.15 May or July marketplace to get some more sales on. Probably 10.30 on the July or so. So that's, I mean, I'm in the same mindset. You know, I think that you'll probably see some continued weakness just to get the January into the front month's range. And then you'll see some upside. You know, Brazil's not out of the woods by any means. Like, it looks decent there. Mato Grosso is like 80% planted right now. And so that's in line with the average. And some of the concerns over production there have kind of backed off a bit. But we're still looking at facing a La Nina weather pattern. We're still looking at the potential of some production issues. Not everything's gone in perfectly. And so if the USDA actually increased, and that was part of the reason, you know, everyone will say that the domestic carryout number was bullish. They can't figure out why the market was lower. Well, the domestic carryout was more neutral than anything. It wasn't negative, but I wouldn't call it bullish by any means. But the global carryout was actually a little negative, simply because the USDA raised Brazilian bean production up to 108 million metric tons. So they added another 40 million bushel of production. And so, you know, traders see that as further Brazilian competition. But we're sure as heck a long way away from knowing whether or not we'll have that 108 or, you know, there is potential there. We've seen it before with Brazil where everything looks good until after the first of the year. And then all of a sudden we realize that, you know, production could be, you know, sub 100 million metric ton. And so there's still a lot of potential changes that could take place. Export pace has been strong. I don't care. You know, a lot of people on Monday said that a 2 million metric ton export inspection was negative, which I can't wrap my mind around that. We're on track to meet what we need to as long as we stay consistent in shipping. You know, and so I think there's a lot of support to beans. I think your upside is really capped until we do know if there is an issue or not in South America. But I don't see why we would have to go remarkably lower at this point in time just because there is some bullish structure to the S&D and China hasn't, you know, China's still actively buying.
So two questions. The first one is when now, according to traders, the front month is January now in soybeans.
Yes. Right?
No, to you, it's not. Why the difference?
Well, it's just until the note goes off. I mean, the front month is Jan. I'm actively trading the Jan. I just always watch the next market in line to fall into line with what the previous month, you know, where that range was. Okay. Is all I look at.
So that's fine.
You can't, until the November is off, you know, until 1 p.m. Or noon Central Time on November 14th, you know, the November board's actively trading. It's down 13.5 cents right now. You know, it's 9.63¾ at the time of our recording this podcast, and there's still people trading. You know, you look at the ladder and they're still trading the November and stuff like that. But yeah, so I just wait, you know, once that is completely erased from our memory and it's dead to everyone, then I think you'll see the January perhaps continue a touch lower just to kind of take on the appearance of being the November.
Yeah, no, right. I mean, but like, for example, November's traded 1,138 cars and January's traded 114,000. So.
Oh, yeah. I'm actively trading the January. I wouldn't carry an open position in the November board right now if you paid me.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like I'm actively trading the Jan. Actually, I'm more actively in the cash market trading the March just because there's 11 cents carry there. So I'm not, you know, from a cash standpoint, I'm not going to be doing anything with my beans, you know, the next 6 weeks, really. I'll be moving them after the 1st of January. So I'm more paying attention to what the March board's doing than anything.
All right. Now, the next thing is, so you mentioned some earlier, and I think it's important. And of course, with the low volatility, which means that options prices are less expensive right now, would you be a seller of your crop to take the cash and then take some of that money and just go ahead and buy options out in time instead of storing?
Yeah, I would. I mean, if you have to move the grain right now, your ability to really wait out the market is limited because you don't have that option. You have to bring it in and you either have to put it on a storage contract and start paying, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 cents a month or something like that. Or you have to price it or put it on basis or something like that. And there's nothing that says in corn, at least, that we don't, you know, and in beans, that we don't have the downside potential. You know, there isn't an open more downside potential. Now the options in beans, of course, because beans still have the ability to move 40 cents or so in a couple days time, it's quite a bit more expensive and maybe doesn't guarantee the same amount of coverage. You know, you look at a July 1040, you know, you're 35 cents out of the money and it still costs you 30 cents to buy it. Kind of expensive for a farmer, where he can just take a 950 cash and be happy. You know, so beans are a little bit different than the corn side, but if you as a customer, and that's what I try to explain to my farmers, if you have to physically move the bushels into the marketplace, your ability to negotiate has pretty much disappeared. So now you're just trying to figure out a way to ensure that you have no further significant downside risk, but can still actively play if the market gives you some upside incentive.
No, again, I understand that. I mean, look, it's there's different ways to do things. And of course, there's different strategies you can use when mm-hmm. you're trying to create that. But again, you know, I believe in, you know, always being long the market in general, but with some downside protection. I don't like to give up. I'm never a fan of giving up upside. Right. So, you know, when I do a hedge, you know, I will never sell a call as part of my hedging strategy. I don't know if you guys do that or not. I just don't do that. I think it's better to, you know, do like a 1x2 underneath it. And you've got protection of the downside. But if we get the big market, well, why shouldn't I participate? Right.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I understand. And that's, I kind of always chat about that. There's two camps. There's the retain physical ownership and own your downside protection, which makes perfect. I mean, it makes sense to me, in different setups. The hardest part right now though is for a customer who has to move bushels. You know, he has to, the struggle that you run into is if the bushels come into commercial storage, then you're going to pay 8 cents a month. You're going to buy your downside protection, which is fine. But as time goes forward, you lose some of the time value in that downside protection, you know, and that may whittle away a little bit to where it's not benefiting you. Whereas for a farmer, sometimes it's nice to know exactly what you have. Now, going forward, you know, on stuff that's in the bin, yeah, you definitely want to make sure that your downside is protected if you're going to be storing something, especially if you can own that downside protection for cheap. You know, it's nice to know that your risk is covered if the market were to drop off, because if you're storing that corn and the market continues to weaken on the future side, typically that means your basis should strengthen. So the stuff that you're storing, you're not only capturing carry, you're capturing that stronger basis, and then you're gaining equity in your put that you own. So, I mean, it makes sense if you've got stuff that you're holding to hold, to have that downside protection and still be long the market so you can take advantage of a firmer basis, the carry, and, you know, your risk on the futures side of the futures loss is covered via that put. I mean, it makes perfect sense if you've still got control.
Good. We'll get you on the other break. The words, according to Angie Setzer, the goddess of grains and also the vice president of grains and citizens elevator. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure you download Angie whenever she's on, and every day as well. LibertyTalk.fm. You can do that. And of course, make sure you check out our highschoolinvesting.com website. We're looking to try to raise some money. And of course, you can help. I've financed it myself for 6 years. I got 300 high schools, but I'm looking for more. Go to patreon.com/BubbaTrading. That's patreon.com/BubbaTrading. This is the Bubba Show. We'll be right back after the break with more from Angie after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz coming right back.
Finally figured it out.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Angie Setzer, the goddess of grains, on Twitter, and also the vice president of grains at Citizens Elevator. So, Angie, you were telling us about the way you do things and things. Now, again, one of the things I believe in is that if I use some sort of spread underneath, then I protect myself from the time decay. And I also can also sell some upside stuff. But instead of selling like a naked call, which many do, I could sell a call spread and create some premium to help finance that downside as well. And actually, you know, I think one of the biggest things that people don't understand is that if you own the underlying asset, then there's a lot of ways to hedge it, because you benefit in either direction, because you're either getting paid for where you kind of hedged it at, or you're collecting premium, or if it goes straight up, you're still own it. And what do you think of that? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I agree 100%. I mean, I was actually just talking to someone earlier this morning about options and the same thing, call option spreads and just having different coverage, you know, your structured market and, you know, being introduced to the structured market options and things like that. And you can pretty much do anything you want to accomplish in the grain side of things, you know, with options. The key, of course, is knowing that you're working with someone who understands what you're getting into and isn't just having you churn an account, which is definitely not what you would be doing by any means. But it is something that we have to watch out for in the current ag industry setup, just because, you know, I mean, that side of the business grew. It exploded between 2007 and 2014 because everyone, you know, needed to buy a call or buy a put or do this or do that. And the volatility was so great. So a lot of people got really accustomed to a significant income, and they're going to try to maintain that, you know, in an unvolatile boring sort of setup right now. So there is some, you've definitely as a farmer got to know, or as anyone got to know who you're working with when it comes to stuff like that. But the beauty part with options and things is exactly what you said, the hedge side. I mean, it introduces you to an ability to hedge, you know, whatever you're looking to try to hedge. So you, as a customer, I always ask my guys, you know, what are you trying to protect? What are you trying to accomplish? And when do you have to turn physical bushels into cash? You know, those are the three questions you have to ask yourself as harvest wraps up every year. What are you trying to accomplish? What do you need to protect? And you know, when do you have to turn and get that those bushels and turn them into cash is really what you have to look at. So, yeah, I mean, there's plenty of ways to look at option strategies in this market right now. You know, unfortunately, on the sales side, you know, perhaps you're not capturing the amount of premium you were before, but the buy side, you know, the ownership of these options is definitely helping make it a more suitable fit for some customers when it comes to looking at protecting themselves from risk.
Which is obviously what they need to do because they do have so much money. Now, again, what do you think is going on now in the real estate market based on farming, because obviously there's not a lot of money being made at the moment. And of course, a lot of these guys mm-hmm. are out on our renters or leasers. And of course, mm-hmm. it's kind of hard to make up all that money now. What do you think? What's going to happen there?
Well, you know, honestly, I have thought that you would see the value of land drop like a hot rock, no pun intended. And we haven't. Just this morning, there was a land auction in Mitchell County in northeast Iowa here, you know, maybe very southeast corner of Minnesota there. And $11,222 per tillable acre on one parcel, you know, just under $11,000 on the second parcel, just under $11,000 on the third parcel. Very good dirt neighbor farmer buyers. So there are farmers out there. And that's the thing that there's been a conversation about, you know, here as of late that, you know, there's a lot of broke farmers, et cetera, et cetera. And there are, don't get me wrong. There's been a lot of guys that have had their struggles these last few years. But there's also a lot of guys that have managed to produce out here in Iowa, especially, you know, on-farm averages of 200 bushel to the acre corn. And some of them have land ownership. I mean, they have significant equity in the land that they own. They either paid it off in the 90s or early 2000s, or they, you know, they paid it off the first time they had 180 corn on, you know, $7 a bushel or something like that. So there are, I mean, I had a conversation with a guy that farms out here about 3,500 to 5,000 acres. He farms here in north central Iowa. And I said, what are bankers using right now for an equity value on your land? And he said, I don't know. I don't work with a bank. He's self-financed still. He's very comfortable. You know what I mean? He doesn't have the newest equipment. He and his brothers work very hard together. They don't have, employee or anything like that. And they work off the farm, but they're still able, to come out and buy, as evident in some of these land auctions that we've seen where they're still selling $10,000-$12,000 an acre. Most of it is being bought now by farmers. The one thing that I see that'll be really interesting is in the Michigan market, we had investment groups come in and start buying up land, you know, remarkably cheaper than what Iowa land values are. But of course, Michigan dirt isn't worth $11,000 an acre. You know, $7,000 is pushing it because we don't have the ability to average $220 on a farm or something like that on corn yields. So there is some concern there that investment groups having a hard time. Their biggest renter has been in the news quite a bit here these last few months. Now he has received some relief in the form of a new investor coming in and helping kind of reorganize his debt load. But they are working to get him off from that land. And they could really run into some problems, you know, when it comes down to it. So it depends on who you're looking at and what you've got in the area. You know, out here in Iowa, I don't necessarily expect good land values to fall off because there are a lot of farmers that are still sitting in some very solid, equitable, you know, they've got solid balance sheets. other areas will really start to struggle, your fringe areas and stuff like that. I think you're going to start to see land kind of reconcile back to its potential when it comes to overall production. But it's all just going to be about knowing your neighborhood and what you can afford to spend.
Well, you can afford to buy everything. You might own it all pretty soon. You know, the goddess. You
could be a land baroness. That's my goal in life.
You know, you're going to be the land maven here. So what do you expect to be, what do you think, or when do you think we might see some movement? What would be your, again, nobody knows. This is purely a guess, yeah. Speculating. But what do you think yeah. will be the driving factor, and when do you think it'll happen? And you got 1 minute. Fire away.
Right. I think beans will continue to be volatile back and forth quite a bit. I think corn's going to stay in its trading range. I think wheat will probably stay in its trading range. I'm not really expecting much movement until we get, you know, a week ahead of the January 12th report, you know, perhaps. After that report, maybe we'll see some volatility come in with knowing or having a better idea as to what to expect out of South America.
All right. And again, you make a lot of references to all these other places. And of course, you're one of the best traders there are. And we take your words and we take it as the gospel, because you are the goddess of grains. Angie Setzer, as always, thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, thank you for having me. I always love it.
That was Angie Setzer, the goddess of grains, also the vice president of grains at Citizens Elevator. And this is The Bubba Show. And make sure that you go check out LibertyTalk.fm and download the show every day. Again, it's that and the Sporting Edge. And, of course, don't forget to get Bubba's Daily Update. And, you know, as always, you know, when you're trading, you need to be careful. You need to keep your opinions kind of on the side and more watch what the markets are doing, because at the end of the day, money is the key, and money will guide you to the right direction if you learn how to follow the money. And that's what we're always trying to preach here on The Bubba Show. And of course, that will do it for today's show. We want to remind you to check out thehighschoolinvesting.com. See if you want to help out a little bit there. And in the meantime, we'll see you back here tomorrow at the same time, same station. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz, and as always, I thank you for being here. I'm glad that you took time out of your day to check it out, and we'll see you back here again tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.